Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody. In real time, we were hosting our show as things were unfolding in Minneapolis. You will see throughout the show as more information comes in at the end of the show. We have all the facts available to us currently, and we have a pretty good understanding of what's happening. Let me just tell you right now, you are being manipulated and lied to about the situation in Minneapolis of a woman who accidentally discharged her firearm, was not ready for prime time. You'll hear that throughout. We cover other topics as well, including the BLM Incorporated mansion buying spree that's happening. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, and please support us at charliekirk.com/support. If you guys want to get behind the work we are doing, the important work we are doing to spread truth to young people across America, go to charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. We have the facts and the truth of what's happening in Minneapolis, and share this episode with your friends. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
With the ever-increasing numbers of makes, Fiat, Kia, and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need on a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. Rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Charlie Kirk in there, how'd you hear about us section. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Let's get to the number one news story right now, which is what has been developing over the last 24 hours in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Some of you have been probably reading articles about this and seeing in the last couple of hours, this is now reaching a boiling point. It feels as if it's deja vu all over again. And in a very strange turn of events, this is happening while Derek Chauvin is on trial for the murder of George Floyd from last summer. Now, if that incident taught us anything, it taught us that there's probably more to the story than the initial social media reaction would tell you. For example, in the George Floyd incident, we did not know that George Floyd said seven times before he had any police officer touch him that he could not breathe. We did not know that the Hennepin County medical examiner said that it was a drug overdose that led to the death of George Floyd. Now, there was another autopsy that came out that had a contradicting claim, but there are two contradicting autopsies. The point is that the original video, no matter how graphic it was, did not tell the complete story. So the burn first, ask questions later activists are out in the streets of Minneapolis. And I want to play the tapes for you one by one. Let's first start with Katie Wright, who is the mother of Dante Wright. She describes a phone call with her son. So basically, here's the essence of what happened. Basically, the essence of what happened in Minnesota, for what we know, and it's probably more complicated than this, is Dante Wright, who, by the way, had a warrant out for his arrest, in Minnesota for aggravated robbery, which means you use a firearm to go and try and steal merchandise or product from somebody since February. And the cops got into some altercation with him. Now, we still don't know the details around that, but we do know how people are responding to it. So immediately the response from the activists are widespread looting and burning. Let's go to actually Harris Faulkner, Cut 11, who's terrific. She summarizes the situation in Minnesota, Cut 11.
Hundreds of people ended up clashing with police, looting, and more over the death of 20-year-old Dante Wright. Police say they tried to arrest Dante Wright during a traffic stop over an outstanding warrant. An officer shot him as he tried to drive away. Wright drove several blocks, hit a vehicle, and then died at the scene. This all happened about 10 miles from where the trial of Derek Chauvin is taking place.
Now let's go to Cut 12 of Matt Finn from Fox talking about the destruction that has followed. So that's all that we know. And let me tell you this. The United States Constitution is written as a deliberative document. Justice is supposed to be intentional and deliberate, rational and factual, logical. So we have all the facts in front of us. This idea that we are supposed to all of a sudden get to a position of outrage 12 hours after an incident is against everything that we hold near to us as Americans. Our constitutional republic, by definition, is supposed to be one that protects the natural rights of its citizens, but also, before we start to get lectured by the virtue signaling, black square posting, BLM incorporated bumper sticker crowd, maybe we should find out exactly what's happening. Now, listen to Matt Finn. There's already massive destruction happening in Minneapolis. Play Cut 12.
We've been able to survey some of the damage across town here, and this is just one of many businesses that were smashed in, looted, or destroyed. This is a GameStop, and just next door is a UPS store that was also heavily looted. And we, a short while ago, spoke to the sister of the owner of that smashed-in UPS store.
They destroyed everything. They pulled it out. It's not about stealing. I think it's just they wanted to break in and just destroy it. You know, it's nothing to steal here in UPS. What do? They purposely want to destroy it. That's sad.
So that's a minority business owner. That's the sister of the minority business owner. And that's what ends up happening, is that the upper middle class white liberal communities are untouched by this, but the black and minority and immigrant communities get targeted the moment there is a position of outrage. There is so much we don't know about this. But the perspective that is dominating the activist news cycle right now is that this must, by definition, be a racist incident. Just another example of how America is a white supremacist country. And I'm already starting to see the social media posts fill our Instagram feed and Twitter feed of people that are saying, you see, here's another example. So Dante Wright was wanted for aggravated robbery. Dante Wright fled the scene of an arrest, so he resisted arrest. Now, whether or not the police officer was justified in a firearm discharge, we will find out. But the rule of these things generally goes like this. Generally, there's a reason for a police officer's action. I'm saying generally. I am not saying that every police officer is ever right. But if you go through the big points of outrage, even from George Floyd last summer, here's the rule. The more facts usually makes the situation more complicated and nuanced, and less likely to warrant civilization untangling. Let's go to Cut 5, crowd chanting that if Dante does not get it, shut it down, no justice, no peace. Cut 5. You know what's really happening here that most of the activist press won't tell you? There is a crisis of purpose in our country. That this gives people purpose. It makes them feel as if they are on the side of the angels. Now they're completely silent and quiet when it came to the Asian American Pakistani immigrant that was murdered by two young black girls in Washington, D.C. 2 weeks ago. They're silent about the carnage and the casualties of what happened in Chicago over the last weekend. But an incident that happens in the streets of Minneapolis was someone who was wanted for aggravated robbery and fled arrest, and the details remain to be seen. That's what flocks people into the streets. This fills a gap, a chasm of purpose in our country. It makes the activists, it makes young people in particular, feel as if they are a good person because they get to be part of something bigger than themselves. When in reality, this situation might not be as simple as they desire. And then you have people start to take advantage of it. You have the massive organizations like BLM Incorporated that choose intentionally to try to use a situation like this to raise more money, to try and justify their narrative that pre-existed this situation. There are videos now of rioters looting Nike stores, Walmarts, UPS stores all throughout the streets of Minneapolis, which, by the way, hurt minority communities and minority small business owners more than anything else. I feel the need to preempt the argument. I am learning how all of this works, and as soon as there is an incident that just happened in Minnesota where everything is now descending into chaos and burning, immediately, we are going to have to be lectured by BLM Incorporated and their allies in the media that America is a systemically racist country and that police violence is the number one issue plaguing the black community. So let's dive into the numbers. Many of these numbers are thanks to Heather McDonald, The Wall Street Journal, and even The Washington Post. Did you know black shootings by cops are down 75% in the last 50 years? According to the Washington Post, police officers fatally shot 9 unarmed blacks and 19 unarmed whites in 2019, according to the Washington Post, down from 38 and 32 in 2015. In 2018, there were 7,407 black homicide victims. Assuming a comparable number of victims last year, those 9 unarmed black victims of police shootings represent, get this, 0.1% of all blacks killed in 2019. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. In 2018, blacks made up 53% of known homicide offenders in the United States and commit about 60% of robberies, even though they are only 13% of the population, according to the Wall Street Journal. Blacks die of homicide at 8 times the rate of non-Hispanic whites, overwhelmingly killed not by cops, not by whites, but by other blacks. That's the Center for Disease Control. There are more black homicides in America than all white and Hispanic homicides combined. Tragically, the vast majority are black-on-black crimes. Michigan State University and the University of Maryland at College Park created a database of 917 officer-involved fatal shootings in 2015 from more than 650 police departments. 55% of deaths were white, 27% were black, and 19% were Hispanic. There are about 1,000 fatal police shootings every single year out of 385 million police interactions a year. Did you know that blacks only make up 25% of all fatal police encounters, even though they commit 10 times more gun violence than whites and Hispanics combined? The rate at which white officers use force, lethal or not, directly connected to the rate of the crime, not the race of the person. The rate that police officers shoot armed blacks is much lower than their rates of violent crime would predict. And as of August of 2019, a study by the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, researchers found that the more frequently officers encounter violent suspects from any given racial group, the greater the chance that member will be fatally shot by a police officer. Research by black Harvard economist Roland G. Fryer Jr. found no evidence of racial discrimination in shootings across the country. Black Harvard economist. A 2015 Justice Department analysis of the Philadelphia Police Department found that white officers were less likely than black or Hispanic officers to shoot unarmed black suspects. Black males have made up 42% of all the cop killers over the last decade, even though they are only 6% of the nation's population. In New York City, blacks make up 23% of the population, yet they make up 50% of all the police stops. Some people say, well, that's racist. That's not racial profiling. Don't fall for the Al Sharpton trap. According to Al Sharpton, he says it must be racist. But blacks commit 75% of all the shootings in New York City. And if you add Hispanics to black shootings, you account for nearly all, almost every single drive-by shooting in New York City. So therefore, it's not about race, it's about crime. Well, what drives crime? Family structure and quality of education. Just because there's a disparity does not mean you can blame discrimination for that disparity. Thank you, Thomas Sowell. And so you are now going to be fed a nonstop flow of rubbish from the activist media for the next couple days. It is now important that we preempt that conversation, that a police officer is 18 and a half times more likely to be shot by a black person than a black person is to be shot and killed by a white police officer. That is a fact. And instead of talking about the actual issues plaguing black America or Hispanic America or urban America in general, we are now going to have to hyper-focus on Minnesota and then justify the looting, the rioting, and the arson, which is already happening, which, by the way, hurts black and minority and immigrant communities disproportionately. One of the things that makes our program different is we're unafraid to talk about these issues from a statistical, rational, and reasonable and logical perspective. And if this police officer acted improperly, I hope he's held accountable. But until we have a mountain of evidence to show that, I refuse to indulge in the popular narrative. A few decades ago, private citizens used to be that. Private citizens. What's changed? The internet. Think about everything you've browsed, searched for, watched, or tweeted. Now imagine all of that data being crawled through, collected, and aggregated by third parties into a permanent public record, your record. Having your life exposed for others to see was once something only celebrities worried about. But in an era where everyone is online, everyone is a public figure. To keep my data private when I go online, I always turn on ExpressVPN. Did you know that there are hundreds of data brokers out there whose sole business is to buy and sell your data? The worst part is they don't have to tell you who they're selling it to or get your consent. One of the data points is your IP address. Data harvesters use your IP address to uniquely identify you and your location. But with ExpressVPN, my connection gets rerouted through an encrypted server, and my IP address is masked. Every time I turn on ExpressVPN, I'm given a random IP address shared by other ExpressVPN customers. That makes it more difficult for third parties to identify me and harvest my data. And the best part is how ExpressVPN, how easy it is to use. No matter what device you're on, phone or laptop, maybe a smart TV. So if you're like me and you believe that your data is your business, go to expressvpn.com/Charlie and get 3 extra months free. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Go to expressvpn.com/Charlie. Since last May, I have been calling Black Lives Matter BLM Incorporated. In fact, I believe we made a positive contribution to the American political discussion because I hear more and more people calling it that because I saw it exactly for what it was from the beginning. This was a profiteering scheme for a small group of people to go collect $500 and $700 donations from people filled with white guilt in upper middle class suburbia that have been told that they're racist and terrible to go buy the I'm a good person starter pack. The I'm the good person starter pack is White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo, the 1619 Project from the New York Times, the BLM Incorporated sign, and that ridiculous yard sign I keep on seeing popping up across the country that says, this house believes love is love and immigrants are welcome and science is real. That's the I'm a good person starter pack. And we've been warning people about this, that this is nothing more than trying to make a small group of people wealthier while blaming you for something you did not do wrong except your immutable, unchangeable characteristics. And then this last weekend, I chuckled because I saw exactly what I knew was happening finally be made public. Patrice Kahn Cullors, who is a co-founder of BLM Incorporated, has a real estate portfolio that would make Ted Turner jealous. If you don't know who Ted Turner is, he is the owner of CNN, and he's technically the largest landowner in the country. Revealed by the New York Post, Patrice Cullors has 5 properties in her real estate portfolio. And they're not just little, I'm going to flip them properties. Let's go through the list. Patrice Cullors has just recently purchased a $1.4 million mansion in Topanga Canyon, Los Angeles. I probably butchered that pronunciation. I've been there. And it's a 95% white community. Might even be even more. 3-bedroom, 3-bath. Oh, but it doesn't stop there. She also owns a 4-bedroom, 2-bath house with a small guest house in South LA. In addition, she owns a 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath home in Inglewood, Los Angeles. So the first one's worth $1.4 million. The second one is worth $720,000. The third one is worth $775,000. And the co-founder of BLM Incorporated, who is taking your donations to go basically go on a real estate buying spree as if she's running Blackstone Real Estate Holdings. She also owns, this is an interesting one, a 3-bedroom home with an airplane hangar. Interesting. In Conyers, Georgia. Now, mind you, she's not in downtown Atlanta. She's not in Fulton County. Well, she might be in Fulton County. She's not in downtown Cobb County is the point. She's not in downtown Atlanta. No, no, no. You see, Patrice Cullors is a very important person. So she distances herself in a ranch-style community 30 minutes outside of Atlanta in rural Georgia. But the real one, which is very interesting, it's not yet confirmed that the New York Post has said that they were looking at units in New Providence, Bahamas, where units span from $5 million to $20 million. And it says that Con Cullors and her wife were looking at units last year, but a purchase is not yet confirmed. So for all of you that are donating to BLM Incorporated to try to see massive change occur, you're contributing to the vast real estate empire of someone who is trying to convince you that America is so systemically racist, how could black people succeed? Oh, I'm sorry, Patrice Cullors, you're a black activist. She's also making the argument that there is systemic inequality at every single turn, but only in America could someone who is an activist like Patrice Cullors go around selling books and speaking for thousands of dollars per appearance and raising tens of millions of dollars about how awful America is, collect a vast real estate empire of 4, maybe 5 multi-million dollar homes. Were you able to purchase new points of real estate this last year? Because the lockdowns and because of the shutdown orders, maybe you own a restaurant, maybe you own a gymnasium, a workout gym, maybe you own a carpentry service, maybe you're a plumber. Were you able to go expand your real estate empire? No, but you've been told by Patrice Cullors, you're the problem. Meanwhile, she's able to go do cash purchases of 3-bedroom, 3-bath homes plus a guest house for $1.4 million in the whitest community in Los Angeles. The race hustling business is a very good business right now. Trying to start a race war in America and divide us on our immutable characteristics, to quote Lieutenant, what was his name in Inglourious Bastards? Aldo Rain. Business is a booming. If you are selling the idea that America is systemically racist, you know the scene I'm talking about. Lieutenant Aldo Rain. Man, if you are Robin DiAngelo, Ta-Nehisi Coates, by the way, Ta-Nehisi Coates purchased a multi-million dollar property recently too. That should tell you everything you need to know about what's about to happen in Minneapolis. And I said this at the end of the last segment. Let me say it again. If this police officer acted improperly, they should be held accountable with a jury against their peers. That is why what is happening with Derek Chauvin, hopefully the jury pool is not impacted by what's happening in the streets of Minneapolis right now. In fact, if I was Derek Chauvin's lawyers or legal team, I would call for this jury to be sequestered and maybe even the location to be changed. Because I don't know how you could have a fair jury when people are marching through the streets demanding a certain outcome, burning stores and looting stores. And I always get a chuckle out of that. Nothing says racial justice like going and stealing a 600 pair of Nikes. And we are now seeing who's actually behind this. And I sure hope if you're listening to this, decent Americans, those of you that are in the middle class of our country, I sometimes call it the muscular class, and the muscular class are plumbers, electricians, and welders, and police officers, and firefighters. Quite honestly, the vast majority of New Yorkers are in the muscular class. I sure hope that you start to stand up against this nonsense of BLM Incorporated, because it is a business scheme. And I actually believe that this is how their legitimacy is truly going to be broken. Through the massive real estate purchases, through the taking donations from well-meaning Americans and corporations. We'll get to the corporations in a second. And living a life of luxury. Now, while BLM Incorporated is buying properties across the country, New York is passing a bill. In fact, it looks like they're going to pass a bill that illegals in the state of New York are eligible to up to $15,600 in one-time payments. That foreign nationals illegally domiciled in New York are now eligible to $15,600 payments. Up to 200,000 illegal aliens are eligible to this. However, homeless veterans in the state of New York are not eligible for that program. So according to Andrew Cuomo and Bill de Blasio, foreign nationals take preference over our nation heroes and homeless veterans. I'm reading from Breitbart.com. Illegal aliens who will be eligible for the one-time payments could receive up to $15,600, the equivalent of $300 a week for 1 year. The aid to illegal aliens is $1.1 billion more in funding than tax credits and grants authorized for New York small businesses in the budget. So in the state of New York, the preference, the focus of Andrew Cuomo and the lawmakers is not small businesses. It's not people that run restaurants or people that are the backbone of business in the great city of New York. No. Instead, the focus is on foreign nationals, people that broke the law to be here and broke the law to stay here. Breitbart.com continues by saying the payments are also one of the largest funded programs in the New York budget. For example, the Emergency Rental Assistance Program is receiving just $300 million more than the Illegal Alien Fund, while homeowner assistance is being funded to the tune of $600 million, about $1.5 million less than the Illegal Alien Fund. I've spent a lot of time in New York. I love the city of New York, and I love the people of New York. I know the people in New York are not going to put up with this nonsense any longer. I believe firmly that the people of New York are actually politically moderate. I do. And I think that they've been misrepresented by their leaders. I think in Long Island in particular, upstate New York, the people of New York are hardworking, American-loving people. And this garbage that is being peddled by Andrew Cuomo and Bill de Blasio is going to have a price. And that's why my friend Congressman Lee Zeldin is running for governor in New York. I'm not endorsing, I'm just saying he's running. I think he's going to have a lot of success. New York City is a uniquely American city. It was really the hub of commerce and culture in colonial America. And it has now become this radical, liberal, postmodern petri dish where the most outrageous, extreme, out of the ordinary ideas and policies are being implemented. And if you're listening to this on the great WABC, I sure hope that a response is brewing amongst the decent people in New York. That $15,600 will be given to illegal aliens, but not homeless veterans. that 15,000, by the way, these are cash payments. These are not tax credits. These are not welfare. This is cash funded by you. Meanwhile, taxes are being raised on New York small businesses, being crushed. Insofar, elections continue to exist in the state of New York. I sure hope you never forget this policy measure, passed, by the way, by a corrupt and morally questionable governor of Andrew Cuomo. Isn't it interesting how he's been able to escape that scandal? That's going to be a recurring theme that we're going to cover this week and the weeks to come here on The Charlie Kirk Show. When you spend a lot of time in the great outdoors, you find out pretty quick that Mother Nature doesn't always play nice. SA Company has all the protective gear you need to brave the elements and explore more every single day, like their multi-use face shields. They are UPF 30, lightweight and breathable, the perfect piece of protective gear for your next adventure. SA face shields are perfect for your next outdoor adventure, whether you're working in the sun or cold or going hunting, hiking, fishing, skiing, riding, or biking. Dozens of eye-catching designs for men, women, and children. SA face shields offer breathable protection for everything to the outdoors throws at you: sun, wind, cold, insects, dirt, dust, and moisture. One size fits all, machine washable, and a lifetime warranty. There's zero risk. SA believes in giving back to men and women who put themselves on the front lines every single day. You get a great deal on an incredible product, plus the chance to give back. Stay protected outdoors, because right now you can get an insane deal. Buy one, get four free. A $150 value for just $24.99. Go to safishing.com/Charlie to get five face shields for the price of one, plus a lifetime warranty and free returns if you're not satisfied. That's safishing.com/Charlie. safishing.com/Charlie. We're still learning a lot more of what's happening in Minnesota. And that's the way this should work, isn't it? The way it should work is we should get all the information, witnesses, testimony. Did he resist arrest? Did he have a weapon on him? Did he maybe fire at a police officer when he was driving away? We don't know that. Was he trying to run a police officer over with his car? These are all things that are more than possible. They're scenarios that could have unfolded. But the burn first, ask questions later mentality and the justification of the rioting and the looting is societally unacceptable to me. It's totally unacceptable. I was reading one of the newsletters this morning and I was chuckling in the way they cover this. Unrest unfolds. Really, that's how you cover this? Unrest? So you have people looting Nike stores, looting UPS stores, looting small businesses, and somehow we're supposed to say, well, that's unrest. They're really angry. It's the justification of massive lawlessness. The founding fathers wrote extensively about law enforcement. Two things are most important when it comes to the enforcement of laws in our country: equal protection and due process. Those are the two things the founding fathers wrote about the most in the Constitution and in the Federalist Papers. And so to be deprived of money, property, or freedom, you must make the case. And so what's happening right now is the activists in the streets, they are trying to deprive this police officer or an entire police department, or even worse, an entire system of policing, without knowing even what has happened. They are assuming that because the victim was black, and by the way, we don't even know if the police officer was black or not. We don't even know if the police officer was Hispanic. Now, you remember with the Trayvon Martin case, the New York Times made up a new case, a new term for George Zimmerman. They called him a white Hispanic. Do you remember that? I'm a big believer that the Trayvon Martin case was the testing ground for all of this, where they learned what worked and what didn't work. They started to get into the hyper-racialization of American politics. Do we have the tape of Barack Obama from that? Of that little boy could have been my son. Is that the tape we have here? Play tape.
But my main message is to the parents of Trayvon Martin. You know, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon.
You remember that whole situation that unfolded? And then more and more evidence started to come out that the narrative wasn't what it seemed. Remember Michael Brown in Missouri? Hands up, don't shoot, which is a pathological lie. This sort of racial tension has been deliberate. It has been concocted, it has been planned. And now people are profiting from it. As we went through, Patrice Kahn Cullors has an entire real estate empire to show for it. Robin DiAngelo, if you go to the Amazon best-selling books over the last year, I think Robin DiAngelo's White Fragility was number 3 of all Amazon best-selling books over the last year. Ta-Nehisi Coates right up there. Race baiting sells. It's a lucrative business to be in. So here's an important question. If people get rich by dividing America, if people get rich by racially turning us against each other, then wouldn't they sometimes go try to find that conflict where it doesn't exist? Because they make money off of it. That's their business. Their business is now to swoop into Minneapolis and cause discord, chaos, raise money, send out email solicitations. I guarantee you, because I'm subscribed to their email list, blacklivesmatter.net, which, by the way, has no address, no 990, no EIN employer identification number. I guarantee you I'm going to get an email from them today, and I'll share it with you. Another one that we can't accept. Please donate right now through this portal, Act Blue, and they'll raise tens of millions of dollars. This is a business for them. Their business is not providing food or dry cleaning or transportation. Their business is making us hate each other. They need to be called out for that, because that is a despicable industry to be in. So I want to get to some more sound, if we haven't played all of it yet, of what's actually happening on the ground here. And so let's get some of the sound lined up here. Have we played cut 4 of the mother of Dante, right? Okay, let's play cut 4, please.
Then I heard the police officer come to the window and say, put the phone down and get out of the car. And Dante said, why? And he said, we'll explain to you when you get out of the car. So I heard the phone get either put on the dashboard or dropped. And I heard scuffling, and I heard the police officer say, Dante, don't run. And then the other officer said, put the phone down, and hung it up. And then a minute later, I called, and his girlfriend answered, which was the passenger in the car, and said that he'd been shot.
Not a lot there that's decipherable, but I think she's saying that she was describing the phone call with her son as he was pulled over. And why he resisted arrest, that's a question that it needs answering. Police are calling the firearm discharge an accidental discharge. Is that right? I'm sure that's going to be met with plenty of controversy, and the facts will bear that out. But who's actually behind a lot of the BLM incorporated activity in our country? Who's behind a lot of the unrest? Well, Nike, who interestingly had their store looted last night, they sent $40 million to BLM Incorporated, and then they get their store looted. There's a provision of the United States Constitution called Article 5. I'm a big fan of Article 5. It talks about the Convention of the States. I have endorsed the Convention of the States. I think it's unrealistic, but it's a good program to get behind, in theory. It's where the states will have a coalition or a meeting to try and draw back the power of the federal government. It says this in Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution. The Congress, whenever 2/3 of both houses shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution or on the application of the legislatures of 2/3 of the several states. So if 2/3 of states agrees, then shall call a convention for proposing amendments, which in either case shall be valid to all intents and purposes as part of this Constitution, when ratified by the legislatures of 3/4 of several states or by conventions in 3/4 thereof, as one or the other mode of ratification may be proposed by Congress. So there is a convention of states that is possible. But what if I told you that the people that are actually behind what's happening in Minneapolis are having their own constitution? From CBS News, first of its kind meeting draws more than 100 corporate leaders to discuss state voting laws. This guy, Jeffrey Sonnenfeld, who's just impossible. I've been on email chains with him before. I've seen some of the stuff he said. I don't know if he's a good person or not. He's just impossible to reason with. Is praising this. And he's a far left winger because the left now knows they control the corporations like they control the campuses. 100 corporate leaders had their own corporate convention, similar to what a constitutional convention would be. Who's in charge of our country? Well, it certainly isn't the way it should be. It's not the states or the people. Instead, it says this. In wake of Georgia's new law, Delta Airlines, Coca-Cola, and Aflac Insurance, among other companies based in the Peach State, spoke out in opposition to the law. Republican leaders, including former President Trump, have in turn called for boycotts of the companies for speaking out. Liberal organizations, civil rights groups, and some Democratic Party leaders have said firms that don't speak out forcefully enough or the passage of the law, a move they argue might have stopped the passage of the law. So there was not a constitutional convention this last weekend. No. A corporate convention of 100 corporate leaders. People that are in charge of massive corporations colluding and meeting, saying very clearly that, don't you understand? Georgia legislature, you don't have the power. We have the power. Attendees include Arthur Blank, owner of the Atlanta Falcons, James Murdoch and his wife, Catherine Hushmid, Adam Aaron CEO, CEO of AMC Theaters. By the way, you could put down a list of all the companies you shouldn't use anymore. Brad Karp, chairman of the law firm Paul Weiss. Melody Hobson, CEO of Ariel Investments. Doug McMillan, CEO of Walmart. Walmart is the worst on this, by the way. Walmart is, and we'll get into that. Scott Kirby, CEO of United Airlines. Doug Parker, CEO of American Airlines. Chip Berg, chairman of Levi Strauss. Reid Hoffman, CEO of LinkedIn. Reid Hoffman is awful. Mary Barra, CEO of General Motors. Ed Bastian, CEO of Delta Airlines, who is as weak as it gets. Says here, Jeffrey Sonnenfeld, who's a lawyer, he's a law professor at Yale. I don't understand what he's trying to... He organized the confab. I don't understand what he's trying to do here. It's really creepy, actually. This is fascism. It is 100% fascism. And I'll prove it to you. Sonnenfeld says, we invited 120 CEOs without 50 hours notice. We were praying for 25. We got 90 CEOs and another 30 invited guests, including legal experts, technology experts, and historians. In addition to Sonnenfeld, the meeting was organized by Lynn Forrester de Rothschild, the founding partner of Inclusive Capitalism, LLC. Leadership Now, a group of Harvard alumni focused on sustaining democracy. It's unbelievable. You have the most powerful people in the country that are meeting in their free time because they're worried that you have too much power. They're worried that elections might be fair and free again. They are worried that they might actually be exposed as overseeing America, the colony. What do fascists believe? They believe that representative government is obsolete and regard the complete mobilization of society under a totalitarian one-party state as necessary to prepare a nation for some form of a conflict. A fascist state is led by a strong leader such as a dictator and martial law government. But instead of a dictator, you just have 100 companies that are calling the shots. Fascists reject assertions that violence is automatically negative. In nature and views imperialism, political violence and war as means that can achieve national rejuvenation. They're justifying the riots in the streets. And have any of the CEOs, by the way, any of these anti-American leaders, like the head of LinkedIn, Reid Hoffman, or Levi Strauss. How many American jobs has Levi Strauss killed, by the way, so you can have jeans made in China? An American product that could have been made in Ohio, but he decided to go make it in Wuhan. Spare me the lecture, Chip Berg. Have any of them spoke out about the arson or the looting or the protest? They call it the protest. Or how about the terrorist activity, which it is in Minnesota? Of course not. Look, no one likes going to the post office. Let's face it, taking trips to the post office is probably not how you want to spend your time. That's why I recommend mailing and shipping online at Stamps.com. Stamps.com allows you to mail and ship anytime, anywhere right from your computer. Send letters, ship packages, and pay a lot less with discounted rates from USPS, UPS, and more. Stamps.com has saved businesses thousands of hours and tons of money. With Stamps.com, you get the services of the post office and UPS all in one place. Stamps.com brings the services of the United States Postal Service and UPS right to your computer. Stamps.com is a must-have for any business. Whether you're a small office sending out invoices or an online seller shipping out orders or even a giant warehouse sending out thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com and handle it all with ease. With Stamps.com, you get discounts of up to 40% to the post office rates and 62% off UPS shipping rates. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving you time and money. It's no wonder nearly 1 million small businesses already use Stamps.com. Stop wasting time to go to the post office and go to Stamps.com instead. There's no risk with my promo code KIRK. You get a special offer that includes a four-week trial. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in KIRK. That's Stamps.com, promo code KIRK. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again. The video, the body cam footage has been released. It turns that the officer seems to have accidentally discharged her weapon. It was a female police officer. And you could tell in the video, she says, oh no, I shot him. Basically, the altercation is in the video. And the Dante Wright was fleeing arrest. And he was wanted already for aggravated robbery. Why they weren't able to find him since February is beyond me. And watch the video for yourself, and I'll narrate it for video. Keep my mic on, please. Okay? Play tape. So that's Dante Wright. He is fleeing arrest, goes back in his car. And it looks as if the police officer has her weapon out. And had her weapon out. Very close proximity to Dante Wright as a way to try to restrain him. And it seems as if it was an accidental firearm discharge. And it said on her own body cam, bleep, I shot him. Okay, we're going to watch it. Play tape, please. So here's Dante Wright in the denim who is being arrested. Now remember, he's wanted for aggravated robbery. He escapes the cuffs and goes back into his car. That's what I'm looking at, right? Goes back into his car. Against arrest, resisting arrest. So it wasn't just a random person walking down the street. It wasn't just because it was a random black person walking down the street. The officers right here are having a struggle and a tussle. The Dante Wright is trying to drive away. Remember, he's wanted for aggravated robbery. And then a police officer, as you see right here, a woman, pulls out her firearm to try and, I'm guessing, to try and tell him to get out of the car because he might get violent. And then her firearm discharges as he drives away, resulting in a car crash. And I think it's right there her firearm discharges. Whether it was intentional or not remains to be seen. And she's pointing the firearm at Dante Wright. He drives off here in a couple of moments here. Or was it a taser? I don't think it was a taser. It's a firearm. What are you talking about? And so she was saying taser, 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 and it drives out. Then she turns to the other black police officer and she says, oh no, I think I shot him. That's it. And so the narrative was that he was just minding his own business and the police officers came to him and did something wrong. That's not true. The reality is that he was wanted for aggravated robbery. He resisted arrest. He gets into the car. He continues to resist police officers. And a woman police officer accidentally pulls off her firearm when she wanted to pull out the taser. And a bullet discharges. And he ends up crashing the car. He was wanted for robbery. He shouldn't have resisted arrest. The woman should have been in better charge of the situation, the female police officer. And this incident has an outcome that I don't think anyone wanted. Is that a police officer that is targeting someone just because of the color of their skin? Or instead, she's in the heat of the moment, trying to make the right decision of someone who's deciding to go resist arrest and do put a crime on top of a crime. Those are the facts of the situation. Please share those facts with your friends now, as our entire civilization is going to go through another unraveling. Okay, I got a better understanding of what's happened out of Minneapolis. You have a guy that's wanted for aggravated robbery, an alleged criminal, Dante Wright. And by the way, if you just look at some of the footage of him online, let's just to give a little nuance, and I only do this because after Trayvon Martin, we had to look at the same picture of what looked to be like an innocent 8-year-old that somehow got slaughtered in the street. And we know none of that is true. And George Zimmerman got acquitted. Same thing with Michael Brown. And I'm not saying he deserved to die, but I'm also adding a fact pattern so you understand exactly what we're dealing with here. Just look at this picture right here. There's no sound here. But this is Dante Wright right here, play tape of him with a firearm, gesturing the firearm straight to himself and to the iPhone or whatever it is, singing some sort of rap song. Not exactly what I would consider to be normal pedestrian activity for a 20-year-old. However, you could go to your own conclusions there. And so just want to make that very clear. So here's what happened, and I finally have an understanding of this, and the stuff's unraveling in real time. Dante Wright, wanted for aggravated robbery, alleged criminal, gets pulled over for expired tags. They're cuffing him. A black police officer is cuffing him. A woman police officer is helping cuff him. He breaks out of the cuffs, goes back into his car. They're trying to cuff him again. And it's being said, taser, 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 taser. The woman then grabs her firearm, not the taser, and points it at Dante Wright, thinking she has a firearm. How you make that mistake, I'm not exactly sure. But mistakes happen all the time, especially in high-pressure environments. And if you've never been in a high-pressure environment like that, you have no standing to make a case. She fires a bullet. Dante Wright speeds off. Now, let me state the obvious. If Dante Wright does not resist arrest, Dante Wright is alive right now. I am not saying he deserved to die. That is not what I'm saying. But that is a necessary prerequisite of a fact that is going to be ignored by all the activist press. In fact, I think Apple News is helping destroy America. I really am. I think Apple News is one of the most manipulative, and quite honestly, less talked about things. Okay. From Mike, six minutes ago, Minneapolis police killed 20-year-old Dante Wright as a traffic stop, sparking new outrage. I'm getting one after the other of these alerts. Here's CNN this morning. Protests in Minnesota after police shot man. Well, that's not the whole story. The whole story is he tried to resist arrest and he had a warrant out for his arrest for aggravated robbery. Get your facts right. All right, so we have some tape here to play. And honestly, it boils down to this. And if you don't want to get killed by a police officer, then don't resist arrest. I'm not saying you deserve it. But here's what I am saying. When you get into a point of tension, when you get into a point of a conflict, a quarrel, a brawl, that's the better word. If you start brawling with police officers and all of a sudden something happens that is not supposed to happen, then the necessary question should be asked, why was Dante Wright running away from police? All right, let's go to cut 25. I think it's cut 25. No. We'll get to that in a second. This guy's a moron. We'll go to this guy's not a moron. Cut 24, Police Chief Tim Gammon, who says, it's my belief that this officer had the intention to deploy their taser, but instead shot Mr. Wright. Cut 24.
As I watched the video and listened to the officer's commands, it is my belief that the officer had the intention to deploy their taser, but instead shot Mr. Wright with a single bullet. This appears to me, from what I viewed and the officer's reaction in distress immediately after, that this was an accidental discharge that resulted in the tragic death of Mr. Wright. I have asked the BCA to conduct an independent investigation into the shooting and death. Once they are completed, I expect they will submit their findings, independent of me, to the appropriate authorities, the appropriate attorneys that will look and review this case.
If he didn't flee arrest, he would still be alive today. Media Matters, I know you're watching. I'm not saying he deserved to die. That's not what I'm saying. But that's a fact. If he just would have went into the police car, similar to George Floyd, if George Floyd wouldn't have made a whole stick about it. Again, not saying you deserve to die. Again, you're able to make a mature argument about a fact pattern of multiple inputs for a less than desirable output. But this is going to be blamed solely and completely on this woman police officer who, quite honestly, got flustered. Too much pressure. Couldn't handle it. Not ready for prime time. Grabbed a gun instead of a taser. Shouldn't have been in that situation. I'm not saying women shouldn't be in police officers. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this woman should not have been a police officer. Not that she's racist. Not that she's bigoted. Not that she has deep-seated resentments. No. Instead, she couldn't handle it. It's too much for the situation. She got pulled out her gun when it should have been a taser. I am sorry she was in that situation for her and everyone else around her, including Dante Wright. So let's play tape here of how BLM Incorporated activists are responding to this. Cut 25. They are chanting murder.
However, the officer drew their handgun instead of their taser.
Murder!
She don't know the difference between a taser and a gun.
Murder!
This is my little man.
So they're already saying it's murder. So if you're in Minneapolis right now, please protect yourself tonight. Get your family out of harm's way. I hate to say this. By the way, this is going to spread to every city across the country. Likely. I can't predict that for sure. But it's likely going to pop up in LA because people need purpose. They're locked down. And you're going to see Joe Biden weigh in on this. And you're going to see all this is now. This is again, this is going to be a distraction issue, right? This is a Houdini trick done by our ruling class, smokescreen. It's a mirage to not you actually to have you not care about the issues that actually matter. Okay, let's go to 26. Now that's about George Floyd. I'm still not quite understanding the connection here, but essentially the prosecution use of force expert agreed that Officer Chauvin should have used a stun gun or a taser on George Floyd, but chose the lesser force. And so let's go to cut 26.
According to the model, the use of force continuum, Officer Chauvin, theoretically, based on what he saw, active resistance, he could have come up and dry stunned him or tased him. That would be within the active resistance, struggling use of force continuum. Yes.
So basically, here's how it all ties together. In Minneapolis, you have a new order that says use tasers instead of use of force. Is that right? Which is why this woman was trying to go grab her taser and she just wasn't ready for prime time. Let's go to cut. Do we have any other cuts here that we haven't yet played? We're still loading those ones up. And so I understand that there's confusion around situations like this. It's already 24 hours. And the activists are calling it murder already, even though it wasn't. Obviously, you can see that and the reaction from that. This is the Brooklyn Center city manager, Kurt Bogany, says the officer who shot Dante Wright will get due process. And here we go. Play tape.
Racial profiling that happened in this situation. Mm-hmm. We are standing in solidarity mm-hmm. and calling for the firing of this officer. Mm-hmm. You have talked about her having due process, mm-hmm. although Dante Wright did not get due process in that situation. She needs to be fired immediately to send a message that this type of behavior will not be condoned within the city of Brooklyn Center.
Thank you. I appreciate those comments. All employees working for the city of Brooklyn Center are entitled to due process. With respect to discipline, this employee will receive due process, and that's really all that I can say today.
So look, he did get due process. You know what due process he got? When he was peacefully being put in handcuffs because he was wanted for aggravated robbery. That's due process, isn't it? He resisted arrest. Dante Wright decided to go take the law in his own hands. Dante Wright created this situation. Dante Wright created a situation of chaos. Dante Wright decided to go be a vigilante. Dante Wright decided to go run away. That was on Dante Wright. What happened after that? Once chaos begins, it shouldn't have ended this way. That we can agree with. But don't act as if Dante Wright was a poor college student walking the streets with a textbook in one hand and a police officer pulled over and said, hey, let's go after that black guy right now and shake him down. No. Dante Wright was a criminal. Dante Wright was wanted for aggravated robbery. Dante Wright was being put in handcuffs. You could see he broke free of it. This is probably a good rule of thumb. Don't resist arrest. It's probably a good rule. And you know what people say is, well, we need non-lethal weapons like tasers. Well, the officer had one. She was trying to grab for the taser, and she didn't. So I agree, we need better police officers, obviously, but here's the reality of the situation. You want to know something? It's called the law of averages. When you have 385 million police encounters every single year, you're going to have a couple people mess up and screw up. That's called life. You're going to have a couple chauffeurs that get into car accidents. You're going to have a couple firefighters that don't know what they're doing. You're going to have a couple doctors that commit medical malpractice. And yes, you're going to have a couple police officers that confuse a firearm with a taser. That's not murder. That's called incompetency. And here's the problem. This young woman police officer is now going to have her life ruined. In the court of law, something actually matters, and it's a word we don't talk about enough. You know what that word is? Intent. What was the intent of that young woman, that young female police officer who's now going to have her life torn to shreds by self-righteous activists that don't care about black on black crime? They don't care about black fatherlessness. They don't care about any of the actual problems in our country. No, they're going to want to destroy this young woman's life who made a mistake. Now, I would sympathize with the activist argument if this young woman police officer randomly decided to go after Dante Wright, and Dante Wright was an A-plus student walking the streets. No. Not so fast, my friend, as Lee Corso would say on a beautiful Saturday morning in college football. Not so fast, my friend. This situation with Dante Wright was avoidable and preventable with one person, Dante Wright. You know it's a crime to resist arrest? We have evidence of that. He decided to be a criminal that day. Dante Wright decided to be bigger than the law. He thought he was better than police officers. And if Dante Wright would have just allowed the system to unfold, Dante Wright probably would have been released on bail because they got rid of bail anyway in Minnesota. He'd be walking the streets right now. He probably would have served a couple months in prison because of all the reduced sentences. But no, Dante Wright thought he was above the law. Now, what would get into Dante Wright's head that would make him think he could do that? Well, maybe all the anti-police narrative over the last year. Maybe it's the police are your enemy. Run away from the police. Instead of, hey, take responsibility for your actions, Dante Wright. Why are you wanted for aggravated robbery back in February? What else have you been doing? Why are you posting selfie videos of you smoking a blunt with a firearm being pointed at the camera? That's a good question, but no one's going to ask it. We will. Let me ask you a question. When you cut funding to police, do you think they're more likely to get training to make the right decisions or the wrong decisions? When Minneapolis decides to cut funding for their police department, do you think that police officers are getting more training or less training? So in a push to try to defund the police, you're going to get more police errors, not more correct police conduct. There's a direct correlation between defunding the police and then police officers making mistakes. Not getting as much funding, not as much supervision. They also have a less of a talent pool to pull from because less people want to become police officers. So now this young woman, my heart goes out for her. And I'm going to say that publicly. I don't care who writes out. I don't care. It's a mistake and it's an accident. I'll defend it against anyone. She's not a murderer. She made a mistake in a pressure-filled environment. She never should have been a police officer. She should have just been a paper pusher. She was not ready for prime time. She wasn't. I mean, if you confuse a gun with a taser, give me a break, okay? Like, let's just be very honest about it. That's okay. I don't know her intentions. I don't know her values. I feel sorry for her. I do. Because now she's going to have her life completely ruined. And now the people are going to say, screw her life. She deserves it because he's dead. Okay, hold on a second. Dante Wright was a criminal who resisted arrest. Fact. And so this woman, not ready for prime time, this woman police officer, pulls out a gun when it should have been a taser. Pretty big difference. Two different weights, two different sides of your body. And she was visibly shaking, dropped the gun, and was just hysterical after she did it. Not exactly a cold-blooded killer. But the left is not going to care. So here's what they're going to do. They are now going to turn this into a broader argument to defund all police across the country. They're even going to go as far to say that white women are the problem in white supremacy. I guarantee it. And unfortunately, a lot of people are going to buy that garbage. And then they're going to... Robin DiAngelo's book is about to go up again in Amazon. Ta-Nehisi Coates' book is about to come up. Black Lives Matter is not going to waste this opportunity to try to get right back and center into the midst of it. But yes, I feel sorry for this woman. I do. Because my faith and the Bible tells me something. You know what that it tells me? Intentions matter. Your heart matters. That it's not always going to work how things actually, it goes from deliberation to choice to action, as Aristotle would say. So your deliberation, meaning your intent, your choices then lead to your action. Well, sometimes if you're in a pressure-filled environment, like 15 seconds, what was her intention? What was that female officer's intention? Was her intention to go murder a black man that morning? Of course not. Give me a break. It's not even close. Was her intention to murder anyone? No. In fact, her intention was to do her job and probably live another day. Her intention was probably the opposite. Do you think she wants this? Of course not. Now, what was Dante Wright's intention that day? That's a good question. Dante Wright's intention, when he was arrested by the police, was to try to run away, aka, I don't respect you, law enforcement. I don't respect you, police officer. I'm going to go try to evade arrest. So the intention of Dante Wright fleeing and trying to be a vigilante and the intention of the woman, two totally, completely different things. That matters. Now, the fact it was an accident is not going to distract the ideologues or the activist class to say that we should defund the police and burn down our inner cities. I'm not sure how this one's going to develop versus the George Floyd one, because the George Floyd video was so emotional and so graphic and so easily misunderstood from the outset. But here's the one thing I can tell you as a result of this. More black people are going to die as a result of this incident. Not at the hands of police officers, but the hands of gangbangers and criminal thugs. Because you know why? The Ferguson effect is about to happen in our country, where police officers are going to say, you know what? We get treated like this. We were just trying to arrest a criminal in your neighborhood, and he tried to flee. And a woman not ready for prime time grabbed her gun instead of a taser and fired it on him and accidentally discharged it, resulting in his death. You guys go govern yourself. And you know what ends up happening? More black children will be shot on the way to school. More black people will be shot after dark. Police officers save lives in our country. And this situation would have been prevented if Dante Wright would have just gone in for booking, had a lawyer, he'd be living right now. But instead, this is a nationwide news story by people that have an agenda to deconstruct our country, an agenda to turn people against each other, an agenda to hyper-racialize every single incident imaginable. They're looking for purpose. And their purpose leads to their profit, leads to their own enrichment. And as long as I have breath in my lungs, I will not allow them to destroy America on a lie. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. God bless you. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.